and they provide prompt quality service to Manhattan and the surrounding area.
We're back here on In Focus, News Radio KMAN, and if you're tuning in for the Pottawatomie County Fair Preview, we will have that. I promise we'll have that coming up here around 9:45, so keep listening for that. Right now, we're continuing our conversation with Director Dennis Butler from the Riley County Police Department. And, you know, I had somebody approach me last week talking about, you know, maybe there's been a few more reports lately of fighting going on in the Aggieville area, and I wanted to see kind of what your perspective is. I know you spent some time down there recently just kind of monitoring the situation.
Yes, I don't, it's hard for me to say if there's been an increase in conflict down there between citizens and patrons, but my understanding is there's always been examples of that for some time. And our officers are down there to, again, just like we are in other parts of the community, to keep the peace. We want people who are coming, no matter if it's in the daytime or night, to be able to patronize businesses safely. In some situations, it requires more police presence than at other times. And again, there's a really delicate balance for us down there, so people feel comfortable going down there, for us not being perceived as oppressive or an occupying force. I'm very aware of that. So what I did was last weekend, I went down for about 3 hours late in the evening, and I was there during bar closing just to get a good look at it myself. I wanted to have a firsthand perspective and watch my officers interact with the community down there. I thought they were very patient and very helpful to citizens who were just being friendly and interactive, but also citizens who needed help or in situations where enforcement was occurring. You know, I got to see all of that, and I thought they did a very good job. And so I recognize that school is out right now, so once school resumes, I do plan to revisit Aggieville on a weekend night to see how that looks. And it's just important for me to have a perspective that I'm not getting from other people, but seeing it myself.
Were the officers aware that you were out there in street clothes?
Yep, they knew I was coming. I was hoping they didn't, but somebody let the cat out of the bag. So they knew I was coming down. You know, when you're dealing with citizens who need service, it really doesn't matter if I'm standing around or not. And I wasn't everywhere at once. You know, Aggieville, several blocks in area, so there was a lot of service going on that I wasn't there for, and sometimes I'd walk up on it as it was occurring, and I felt like the officers were doing a very good job.
I know sometimes when you involve alcohol in late night and you're down in a district where there's a lot of bars, that you know, it can get a little difficult for things not to escalate here. So maybe you talk to the point of trying to keep a situation under control here and how important that is.
You know, the best way to address that is to say that alcohol-fueled behavior is unpredictable, and sometimes things go very smoothly, and other times, depending on the people involved, it doesn't. And we are not trying to trigger conflict, and typically we don't. My understanding is that oftentimes conflict starts brewing earlier in the evening between people, and then once the bar is closed, they go out into the street and they finish up what started inside someplace. Again, our job, our mission is to keep it as safe as possible down there. And when people need to be held accountable for unruly behavior, we do our best to do that as well in a safe way.
And it's in the best interest not only for patrons, but the business owners, I'm sure, want to keep it safe down there.
They do. They do. I've met often with the Aggieville Business Association and also some of the business owners down there. And overall, they all want to have a safe Aggieville. We may sometimes differ on how that is accomplished. But again, I recognize that they are conducting licensed legal businesses down there. And so it's not my goal or intent to interfere with that or shut anybody down. That is not what we were doing. We are there to keep the community safe. It's just that basic.
All right. I've only been down in Aggieville real late at night a couple of times, but I have two kids, and I would never take them that late at night because the atmosphere is so different than it is, you know, daytime.
It is different, and you know, and I won't get into all the reasons why it is. And as a parent, that is your prerogative, and I wouldn't try to convince you one way or another to change your approach as a parent. But it's a different atmosphere in the daytime than it is at nighttime. I'll just leave it at that.
All right, let's take. We got a phone call here. Good morning. You're on In Focus.
Thank you for your efforts. You're a very well-spoken gentleman. I'm glad you're looking out for our welfare. In this story that came in had today and the motorcycle chase, thank you for not having a dramatic motorcycle chase through town. I know after breakfast, if I happen to park out in the street in front of the bank to listen to In Focus and happen to nod off to sleep, the bankers will call for a well check on me. Unfortunately, I was involved in a community where a single lady living out in the country had a neighbor, had other intentions, did a welfare check on her. And when all the police showed up, it did not turn out well for her. And I hope we don't ever have a situation like that here. Thank you for all your efforts.
Well, you're welcome, and I appreciate your observation about the temperament and demeanor of our officers in dealing with situations like that. There's been so many examples I could point to throughout my career in Virginia and here of innocent people being seriously injured or killed in pursuits that involve very minor issues. So our officers, before I came here, were very, very well trained in disciplining themselves and how to deal with those and the criteria that they use. And I'm very pleased with not having to change that to what we see now.
You know, any time you have a pursuit, those are you never know what's going to happen there. And you know, I know news organizations kind of they catch up on those real quickly because they're kind of exciting stories. But at the end of the day, it's a safety concern for everyone involved.
It is, and what's often not reported or not covered is we almost always end up finding them later and taking them into custody if that's needed, without risking the public like what happens during pursuits. So for the most part, we end up finding them sooner or later.
All right. Talking with Dennis Butler, Director of the Riley County Police Department here. I wanted to ask you real quick, I've seen that there's been some movement here trying to get a victim advocate coordinator hired, and I wanted to see where you're at in that process.
Yeah, we're behind schedule on that. We had some administrative delays from doing the background investigations from the contractors we were using. We've resolved that temporarily for now, so we hope to have the victim advocate coordinator on board by early to mid-August at the latest. So we have to finish our interviews, and then I think we'll be in a good position to make an announcement sometime next month.
Now, this victim advocate coordinator, would they be stationed in Manhattan or would they be somewhere else in the county?
They're being hired as a Riley County Police Department employee, and their job really is to help coordinate the existing services that exist in Riley County for our victims of violent or serious crime. So sometimes there are gaps in service, and it's no one's fault. It's just things are spread thin. This victim advocate coordinator can provide some of the information that a victim might need and help connect them with the right services in the community. So it's very important that we are able to do that so we can also free up some of the detective's time to focus more on the actual investigation than helping victims connect with these services. So I'm very excited about having this person come on board and do that for us and our victims.
Well, and I know we've had you on before, and you talked about one of your goals is to improve crime reporting in the north part of the county because I think you said you feel it's underreported at this point.
Well, I'm told by citizens and our officers that victims have been very vocal and verbal about their reluctance to report crime, and mainly it is because they do not want their names published or mentioned in a news program. They are, and I won't give you the details of a recent example, but heard back from the spouse of a victim who was embarrassed and humiliated were the words that he used over his wife's identity being revealed, and she was despondent over that. and felt as though that she needed psychological assistance because she was having such a difficult time dealing with it. That was not what caused me to reduce or restrict legally what we were releasing in our daily media report, but it was just the latest example that I felt like we were on solid ground and doing the right thing for our citizens and our victims. We want them not to be re-traumatized in the media, and we want them to stay engaged with us in a productive way so we can help them get their crime either solved or reported. And if people aren't reporting crime, then I can't do anything to address it. Again, it's very basic.
All right. Let's take a quick time out. I want to get more into that conversation, but we'll do that on the other side of a break. Mm-hmm. Stay tuned. You're listening to In Focus, News Radio KMAN.